All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Well, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Lots covered today. Obviously, this is the November 9th day after the midterm elections. And it's not looking good for Republicans. Right now, we have a balance of power that is teetering on incoming votes and on the polling stations that are still counting the votes. So, InfoWars, Fox News, a bunch of other shows are out there, and they're doing 24/7 coverage of everything politics and everything midterm elections related. And good on them. Here's what I want to talk about. What are the repercussions of this election? And what is it going to look like in our nearest future? We currently have a system that's broken. Our election system is obviously flawed. I don't think there's any way that any expert can look at our election process anymore and say that it couldn't get any better. I was watching last night and, you know, time after time, I'm seeing voting machines or people that are posting stuff about voting machines that are not working. The voting machines have stopped working. They're being told to go to other places. And, you know, here's the thing about this is that there is suppression going on. Election denying has already been happening. But I don't know what all it actually matters anymore. And I'll say it to you like this. It seems to be that the red wave has receded. Joe Biden came out earlier, and I'll spare you from having to listen to Grandfather Potato and his ramblings. But they're already out there slapping themselves on the back. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of the Republicans came out and said, it looks like we're going to win the House. And now the battle is on for the Senate. What do you think is the next biggest shoe to drop? If we win the House, then we can at least put a friction or a stalemate against the Democrats for some things. However, if we win the Senate, Mitch McConnell cannot be the Speaker of the House. We can't have a man who's aligned himself with rhinos, who is himself a rhino, and with the Communist Chinese Party, and become the third most powerful person in America. We're swapping out one corrupt politician for another. So in Doug's honest purview here, there's not much we can do about this. If you voted, things are happening the way they did. I don't like the outcome of the vote, and I'm sure most of you don't either. But what's sad is at about 2 in the morning, I'll tell you a story. 2 in the morning, I got woke up. I fell asleep on the couch with my youngest daughter. She was fussy, so I was trying to hold her till she went to sleep and ended up putting myself to sleep as well. And I woke up and I was just very distressed. I was distraught. The Lord was really pushing on my spirit, and you know, I'm about like breakdown wanting to cry. I'm like, what is going on with this oppression? And so I immediately got my phone out and I just thought, oh no, the election. And now I'm not going to tell you that God is waking people up in the middle of the night because the election didn't go the way that we wanted. I'm saying that there is a lesson that America is about to learn based off of this election. And it's going to be a very, very biblical lesson. I'll ask you this question. When does the Lord show no mercy? If you go back into the Bible, you can go over many different instances where God did not show mercy to a people. When the Israelites were crossing the River Jordan, I mean, besides Rahab, there was almost never any mercy shown, right? So every time Israel and Judah became a reprobate-style nation, God showed very little mercy. All this was done, the demoralizing, breaking down the kingdom, causing civil wars, plagues, famines, mass die-offs, starvations, cannibalism because of the starvation during the sieges that happened numerous times. God allowed that to get the people to realize that maybe your system is broken, and the last thing that you do is pray, which should have maybe been the first thing. How many times has God taken you out into deep waters where your enemies can no longer swim and showed you, you can walk on the water, your enemies can't follow you, but you have to keep all eyes on me. Eyes on me, guys, right? I think America, we are fixing to be taken into some very deep waters. And I don't mean just physically, but spiritually as a nation, we are being drugged through deep waters, but it always manifests itself physically. It was so sad to see, because I've been up since 2 in the morning. I drove around until about 4 o'clock, just driving around, praying and trying to figure out what in the heck is going on. And how many of you do that? You wake up in the middle of the night and go for a prayer drive. So there I was, and I'm thinking, Lord, why are you pressing so heavy upon me? And I just felt this overwhelming sadness. Now, I don't claim that the Lord audibly talks to me. I think this happened once in my life. But you know, when you get the stirrings and the movements in your spirit. So that's kind of what has been happening to me. And this happened last night. This doesn't happen very much. So whenever it does happen, I separate myself from everything and I get quiet and I listen. And what I felt was what any father would feel when he loses their children, loses the eye of the child. You know, they're no longer focused on you for need, for want, for comfort. You know, they no longer care about your admonishment. They disrespect you. They turn completely from your original purpose of them. And I feel in a lot of ways that is America. We claim all the time that we're a Christian nation, that we have Christian foundations, but we sure have certainly given up on that. And this election is proof that we've given up on it. Now, many of you listening to me, I understand you're a Christian, but the overwhelming majority of America has given up. Sorry. I can still feel the pull of the Lord on me. A listener named Alfred, a listener emailed me. I got it this morning, and I've had multiple others about this election. And I want you to hear what this gentleman said. He's from Florida. He's retired Air Force. He asked me this morning if I would start covering more survival-orientated subjects, because it appears that after this election, or either the stolen or not, that without a doubt, America is no longer in God's favor. That this brother, who's retired Air Force, believes that the need to focus on survival is most pressing right now for a nation who's going to go the path that we are. What path are we on, guys? What path leads us to damnation and destruction? Is it this path that we're on? You know, as I was reading many, many forums and listening to interviews, that's the hard part now about trying to do this media thing. You know, back when I was just a cop, I didn't have to worry about any of this, but now I have to pay attention to it so that I can catch as many different people's ideas and views as possible. But now, all I heard yesterday, one of the biggest things that went against Republicans was women's rights for abortion. Women's rights for abortion. That was one of the biggest pressing things for the midterms. You know, as a Christian, you know, we view these things as satanic, right? We view these things as barbaric, you know, Baal worshiping or Baal, however people say it. You know, Moloch worshiping. And right now, we see America sliding into the collapse zone, much like Rome and many other nations, the debauchery of the people is continuing to increase. Would you ever guess that a 1990s America would take the amount of fraudulent activity that's happening at polling stations? Likely. I don't think you would. And I think even worse, Americans generally seem to have been just lulled to sleep to where we don't care so much about the stolen elections. If anything, we're kind of used to it, like a Stockholm syndrome. But this brother and a couple others now have emailed me, and they're worried about the survival of the nation if we continue to go the path we are. Well, I'll be honest with you, I am too. If we didn't win full spectrum dominance of this election to the point that we could get old Grandpa Potato out of the White House, then America, buckle up for a rough 2 years. We're already almost out of gasoline products, out of diesel products. They won't let us drill for oil, natural gas. Fracking is on hold. The chemicals to get the components for the water for fracking are, you know, being scarce to be found. Cross-country truckers are almost at $7 to $8 a gallon. I was already told by multiple different truckers, and to many of them who listen to the show, thank you, brothers, for listening, and for those who keep up with me. But once we pass $8 a gallon, many truckers, and especially in the independent line, are not going to be doing this anymore. So who the hell is going to move your food, your fuel, your ammunition, your medicine? One of the things that I've brought, and I brought this up, I'll bring it up again, but the Democrats seem to fail to understand, is that it takes diesel-powered machines to make the lithium batteries. It takes diesel-powered machines to mine the lithium mines. It takes diesel-powered machines then to crate it, to crush it, and then to manufacture it. And even then, guess what is hauling around the electronic vehicles, the EVs, the electric vehicles? What's dragging them around everywhere? Diesel trucks. So obviously, we're not thinking thoroughly, or we're not thinking ahead. Many of you, probably like me, many of you out there probably think that what is happening right now is a deliberate attack upon Americans. I would say you were right. And that's for all Americans, no matter how you vote. Let me cut to the quick here. God did not put me into the position that I'm in now to preach sermons. I wish I had that. That spiritual gift. God did not push me into the direction that I am now to teach you how to get rich quick with your finances. That is not one of my strong points. I am here to tell you the truth of the times. Expect the impact to come. The market's going to collapse. I'm going to keep saying this until, you know, eventually I have no one listening to me, I guess. The market's going to collapse. Every one of you watching it right now, you're out there playing the $1.8 or maybe it's $2 billion lotto now. Hey, I did too, if you did. We just found out today that our ticket, you know, our ticket didn't go through. And I'd have no idea what I would do with that money. I just know that's one heck of a tithe. If we don't tear down the high places, then they're going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to gain strength. Strength against you and I. And, you know, we talk about a great falling away, especially from the church, from our Lord Christ. But there's also a falling away within the way that we're voting. I mean, as I look at this political map, and I see how many things have gone blue. You know, right now there's 177 Democrat seats in the House, and 206 for Republicans. So, you know, we are projected to win. But once again, you know, we have some strongholds here, people. And I'll speak to, obviously not to 90% of you listening, but to anyone who lives in a blue state who voted Democrat. Do you love misery? Do you want God's judgment upon this nation? You vote in, especially if you claim to be a Christian. I don't think you could claim to be a Christian and be a Democrat. I don't see these two walking hand in hand. Of course, there are plenty of Republicans who also want a right to abortion. So I don't believe we're at the point in time in America where we're going to pull through this one. You know, when I was talking with Dave Hodges yesterday, I was hopeful that we would win. It would be a landslide. The red wave MAGA tsunami would overcome. But that's not what's happening. Instead, what has been recorded is multiple different polling stations having power outages, asking people to vote in Sharpie marker. It's a Scantron. I mean, if you're an adult, you should already know you can't do that with a Scantron. You'll trip the machine and it won't read you. It won't read your mark. So, all this shenanigans is happening. Joe Biden's smiling like a skeletal idiot. And what I sit back and I care about the most is not, you know, that Greg Abbott won over Beto, whatever the hell his name is, Beta Mel. You know, what I care about is the repercussions that's going to be happening because of this election. And it's not over yet, so I'm not calling victor over anybody. And I don't trust Fox. I don't trust any of these people. I mean, we'll know hopefully by today or tomorrow. But, you know, there are a few places like the Georgia election where they're saying we won't know for a month. We have a weakened economy and weak people running this nation. Weak people voting, weak-minded, weak in body, weak in mind, weak in morality, weak in principle. For many of you out there who decided that voting for the downfall of America sounded like a cool, hip idea for women's rights, do not come to anyone who is preparing for the survival of the after effects of these types of elections and ask for anything. May the Lord show mercy upon you, but don't expect it from your fellow brother. I know I'm very coarse. I'm a pessimist, right? Many of you have emailed me talking about my attitude and my pessimism. That's what God has made me. That's how I've been for many, many years. I am not I'm not a prophet of God, but I can't remember one prophet of God that came and warned the nation of destruction if you don't change your ways that was looked upon greatly. Once again, I am no prophet, but I can see this coming a mile away. Focus on survival, right? That was the email that I got. You may want to do some worldly study and see how other third world countries living in a dystopian hellhole survive. The winter is coming. Right off the bat, what I'm going to tell you to do is I'm going to tell you go get plenty of dried wood. Stock up on diesel and gas now. Your food now. Your water now. Your medicine now. Brothers of mine that I used to run with when I worked in DHS, you guys are going to be busy. Get ready for it. if the Republicans take the Senate, expect for the riots for the next 2 years until the presidential election. If the Democrats retain power, well, just expect everything to continue to progress the way it has. As for the training, because this gentleman asked me to do the training, it would appear for right now that the active shooter training in Teleco Plains, Tennessee, at Ready Made Resources is going to be canceled, and we'll probably restart it next year. We just, probably in January, we just didn't have enough people. It's bad timing to be doing any type of tactical training with people due to the economy and, you know, everybody worried about the vote. I get it. I'm not upset about anybody for us not trying to make a quota for the training. But in order for it to make sense, we need at least, you know, 10 to 12 people to show up. That's what we got the first time. But, you know, I'll throw this at you for any of you who are interested. Look at the dynamics of the world ahead of you. Are you ready for it? That's your own internal question. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? Do you want to be trained up on it? Do you want to continue your training and evaluation of your own personal skills? Well, send me an email. I'll let you know whenever the next class is going to be coming up. For right now, I'm going to go to a break, and then we'll be back to talk about some history. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountainstatesurvival.com. I want to talk to you about the pride of Pharaoh and how I think that the pride of Pharaoh relates to American politics, maybe to American people. The pride of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was given a way out. You're going to hear me say this multiple times. But Pharaoh condemned himself and his people to damnation, to destruction. Pharaoh was given a way out. By releasing Moses and the Hebrew people, the plagues would have ended. But in his haughtiness and sinful nature of pride, he could not let the Hebrews go, and he pursued them to his own destruction. As we are taught, the wages of sin is death. And pride, my friends, is one of the most deadly of all sins. I want to read you something by Royce Frederick. It's called The High Cost of Pharaoh's Pride. And as we go to start to read this, if you want to turn to Exodus, starting with Chapter 5. And you start to read in Exodus, and many scholars actually believe that this Pharaoh was a Ramses II, most likely, too. But this pharaoh was given a pivotal moment of history to honor God and to allow a people of God to be relinquished from their bondage, and from there to advance forward for God's glory. Could you imagine, had Pharaoh's pride been repressed, had he had someone of counsel in his ear to say, Lord, this is not the way. Do not fight the Lord thy God. I mean, it obviously would have taken someone more than just Moses and all the plagues to convince this man. But if Pharaoh had had a change of heart, if Pharaoh would have listened, if Pharaoh would have honored God, just think how great Egypt would probably still be today. And that goes with any kingdom. Babylon, Assyria. You know, that just look at all the nations of the Arabic world. You know, to include Israel herself, had they just honored God, they would not be ruled by a barbaric horde of people from the Muslim religion. And the Muslim religion, and I don't care exactly what you think of this or not, I've experienced it, is barbaric. Doesn't mean that the people don't have manners or can respect people, but as a whole, that religion is barbaric. And that barbaric religion is now the number one religion in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is who controls Egypt. And throughout antiquity, if you didn't know this, all the way back to Thermopylae, which is what I did one of my probably best pieces ever in college over. It was a big 16-page write-up over the Battle of Thermopylae. And the Egyptian Marines were widely known for their battle prowess, for their seaman skills while on the water. And yet, when you start to read into antiquity about the Egyptian culture and just how marvelous it was, even though, you know, they were obviously completely occultic and given over to strange gods, the people as a whole and their march through time was spectacular, but it had a spectacularly fast ending. And me personally, I believe anytime you start to intervene with God or with God's people, you are going to meet the wrath of God, the terrible day of the Lord. So over the weekend, I had to go to Colorado. I had a business trip I had to take. My wife and I were talking about Pharaoh's pride. And I'll say this, just like with these elections that's happening right now, with all the rhino Republicans and the reprobate Democrats, you were given a way out. You could have chose to do the right thing. And instead, you chose to go against God, against God's plans, against God's people. And I mean, I don't know if these people have read the Bible or not, but it doesn't turn out very well for you. But there's something here within this ego of Americans. I've experienced it. And we'll get to this, The High Cost of Pharaoh's Pride by Royce Frederiker in a second. I've experienced that level of pride, haughtiness, that level of egotistical brainwashing from Americans. Have you tried not wearing a mask in 2020 to see what people look at you, how people treat you? drive around New York with a Trump flag hanging off the back of your truck like we do here in Texas, or, you know, certain parts of the country up north, and see how you get treated. We're a divided people, obviously, divided politically. But the one thing that could drag us all together and be the soothing balm of our hearts as Americans is Jesus Christ. But instead, what we choose is interstructural war in between each other, which will eventually translate from not just a political war, not just a war of culture in between the religions and the dogmatic practices of people and patriotism being dissolved. It's eventually going to lead into your government. Your government, like the government we have now. And I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Joe Biden must believe he is Pharaoh. And let me tell you something, Grandpa Potato. If you want to walk the path of Pharaoh, prepare for the tidal waves to collapse in on you. Joe Biden must know he's being played as a fool. Joe Biden must know that his own constituents see him for what he really is. Joe Biden must know that the world laughs at him to his face. But this man has been given over to a great delusion, just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was given over to a different type of delusion. Pharaoh honestly believed that he was a god king type. And because of Moses coming to Pharaoh and telling him, "Let my people go, this is your warning. Have you not seen all the other plagues?" And Pharaoh not letting go, because of that pride, it caused his own destruction. And that's no different than Nancy Pelosi and all these others saying, "I will not relinquish the reins, the political reins that I have, if the other side wins in the votes." Okay, Pharaoh, prepare for the waves to collapse down on top of you. This pride, this problem of politics. It's the reason why I'm not a politician, I'm a statesman. I do believe in being a statesman. But the problem with our politicians seems to be they get so caught up in their own prideful lusts that they are in charge. It's all about me. Instead, they forget that they're here to serve us. Pharaoh forgot that he was the king of a nation. And when he had all the pride built up and he had all the plagues happen, just could you imagine your firstborn son dying? Not just your firstborn son, but every firstborn son. Oh, by the way, the rivers turned to blood. The famine, the plagues, the pestilence, the frogs. How many warning signs do you need, Pharaoh? Well, how about it, America? Have we become as bad as Pharaoh's pride? How many warning signs do you need, ladies and gentlemen, to see that eventually the tidal wave is going to collapse back on top of us? I implore you as Christians to be insulated from this to the best of your ability by praying, prepping, and by training. Something I say quite a bit, and I'm going to continue to say it. You need to be praying to be insulated from all the madness that is happening in this country. Even if you voted or you didn't vote, I don't care. It's not going to lead you to salvation, which is what I hope for. I hope for the salvation of every person who listens to me. And even if it's just the one guy like me who comes across the show as some crazy guy sitting in his house talking to a microphone by himself in a dark room, hear my voice when I say this. Be warned about Pharaoh's pride. Moses told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." That's Exodus 5, verse 1. Then this first demand, which was reasonable, but Pharaoh, who sat there on his throne, swelled up with ignorance and arrogance and pride, could not let the God of his slaves give him an order. So Pharaoh, with his pride, responded, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." That's Exodus 5:2. So throughout all these devastating plagues, the Lord broke Pharaoh's stubborn pride, but only after terrible misery and loss. He broke the back of his own nation through his pride. Pharaoh and his people paid a very, very high price before he finally acknowledged the Lord's right to rule. And what did he continue to pursue, though? It took his son dying. It's a sad joke that we say in the government. It always takes someone to die for a policy to change. Even with what I do currently and prior, it always takes your life to be in danger. It always takes that threat to be in your face for you to realize I'm not doing something right and I need more. When sin is on the throne of your heart and we have dethroned Jesus from our heart, it keeps you from obeying the Lord. But not just that, it keeps you from that lifeline. It keeps you from that communications line through the Holy Spirit. The more you build up sin, the more burdens you cast before God to build up that wall in between you and Him, the worse your life is going to get. But, as the Bible teaches us, both the blessed and the wicked can still make a little money, right? It's horrible when you see a completely wicked man and women, like we see within our own politicians, accumulate so much wealth that they have become little kings and queens within this nation. And then they forget that 80% of the nation is impoverished. Which makes us really good, because like 95% of the world is impoverished. What a terrible right they think they have to rule. But let's get back to you and your pride and your sins, right? When sin is on the throne of your heart, it keeps you from obeying the Lord. By your actions, if not by your words, your heart says, "Who does the Lord think he is telling me what to do? It is my life, and I will live as I please to." Well, it is your life, but it is not merely your life. Your decisions and your actions, they help or they hurt. many people that are involved in your life. Just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a nation to consider instead of chasing after his pride, but he was wounded. He was spiritually wounded. And after he lost his son, all bindings had been broken off to keep the instability that was in his mind restrained. The loss of a loved one will make you lose your principles, especially of a child. But it didn't have to happen. Did you hear me? I said it didn't have to happen. Because his decisions and his actions hurt everyone in his life. Just like the decisions and the actions of our politicians hurt everyone that is involved in their life. And if you are a politician, if you are a president, if you are a public representative, law enforcement, first responder, if the public pays your bills and relies upon you for a service, then everything that you do, every action that you take, every decision that you make or decide to ignore . It is the people who rely upon you who become the victim. I can replace myself in this grand scheme of things. There are 10,000 other boys and girls out there lining up ready to be a cop. But if I decide not to run into the school while the shooting is happening, or if I decide to stay in the hallway when all I needed was a gun and courage, it was my decision and my action that either helped or hurt the people who are involved in my life. And when you are a public official, everyone is involved in your life, whether you are politically aligned with them, socially, economically lined up with them, whether you have the same religion or not. If you choose to serve, then everybody becomes part of your family one way or the other. Thus, every decision or action that you make can, will, hurt or help everyone involved. Just like Pharaoh. And the lives that you affect the most are usually those you love the most. So when Pharaoh woke up to his son being dead, he lost all faculties, and through his madness, through his rage, through his vengeance, he chased the people of God through the Red Sea, knowing the miracle in front of him with the walls of the sea being separated, standing who knows how high, the fish falling to the ground, seeing the mud path as they're being taken to see still the foot spores of the people of Israel as they are going from one side of the bank to the other. He decides with his mighty men of war and his chariots to charge, even though he knows my God didn't make the sea part, but I'm going to chase after his people. So one of the other things that this pride will bring you into your own arrogance is your destruction. Now, the Lord does not immediately punish every sin. He delays punishment to give us time to repent, 2 Peter 3:9. He would much rather bless than punish. Do you not think at any point in time that God would have rather liked to have blessed Pharaoh and his kingdom rather than having to kill every firstborn? Those plagues in Exodus, Yeah, I think it's chapters 5 through 12. They're examples to teach us the high cost of sin. The high cost of pride. What is it going to take here in America? What plague are we going to have to go through to endure? What is the high cost that Americans are going to have our back broken and our innocent blood spilt in order to humble the politician? How many little pharaohs are there out there now in Congress and the Senate, your local administrators? Try and just get an audience with them. They sit behind their big desk. They act like they're all lords of the manor. Respect the title. Respect the position, but I do not respect 90% of the souls inhabiting the position. We are led by very unwise people. And a wise person learns from their mistakes and from others' mistakes, but yet, obviously, no one is learning from the mistakes of our past. The greatest documentation ever, the Bible. History's best friend. You can take this to the bank, folks. If we do not right our own wrongs, if we continue to vote in demon-possessed people. I was listening to a politician the other day who said, I like transsexuals. They make me feel good. They're funny. And I want them involved in my government. I want them involved in my school. I want them flinging their stuff around my kid's face while I go and take them out on a Saturday and have brunch. I could flip this freaking table over. These are the people you want involved in war? These are the people you want involved in your finances? Who do you trust now, America? Nobody trusts the election. Nobody trusts the Department of Justice. Nobody trusts the FBI. Nobody trusts the Department of Homeland Security. I don't trust the Pentagon. I damn sure don't trust anyone with an R or a D in front of their name anymore. No one trusts the school system. Your children, which should be the most important thing in your life, are going to schools now. They're being taught every bit of sexual immorality that used to be held sacred. Everything that used to be held sacred is being completely torn apart. And all this sexual immorality, things that you used to hear about in the frat dorms in colleges or from the Skull and Bones in Yale, the debauchery, the debasedness, the evilness, that is now in your kindergarten. Does anybody recall a couple years ago when you couldn't call the child a boy or a girl? They had to be a little purple penguin. I remember Alex Jones talking about that. And I remember also being a police officer, driving around every now and then, had a buddy of mine. We'd go on patrol, and I'd be listening to Alex Jones, the man that they are trying their best to capsize. Like him or not, he's better than the rest that's out there talking about the news. And I remember being called a crazy conspiracy theorist because I listened to Alex Jones. I wonder if I'm still considered that. And that's all right, because I don't care for man's opinion. I am of my Father's work. Your opinion does not matter to me. As I have said many times to many officers who I have counseled, trained, who have seeks me for guidance, I don't get friendship pay. I don't owe you anything. I'm going to do my job regardless if you like me or not. That mindset has died in the government. That mindset seemed to have died in the military. That mindset seemed to have died in most law enforcement agencies, not to mention most places in America within business. Now it's about hookups. Now it's about racial prowess or sexual prowess. It's never the right man for the right job anymore. Sweat your ass off, work your ass off, and you will get what is deserved to you. That time has passed. Pardon the French. That time's passed. Instead, we live in a nature of sin now. Sin is built into your school. It's built into your church now. How many different churches do I need to bring up for you people where there is someone who is not straight, not heterosexual, that is leading the church in prayer? Heaven forbid. Or like the church that recently came out, I talked about probably about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where they had transsexual men who are both pedophiles, convicted pedophiles, that were bringing a trailer to the church so that the little children could be taken, escorted from the Sunday school one at a time to this van, this trailer, where there are two predatory men who want to physically, sexually violate children horrifically, and then dress them up as little girls for their own little fantasy. The only thought in my mind is flamethrower. I don't have any other way in my mind to put the actions or the repercussions of such actions. God forbid if I was able to stand up on the top of a mountain and say, "You, Captain, and thy 50, condemned, and lava fall from the sky." If I could do that to half of the installations of schools in America, I would, just to protect your kids. If you go to any school function and meeting, and they have this, and you're not out there exposing it, better yet, you haven't taken your kids out of there, then I would assume you voted for the Democrats. Then I would assume you want damnation. It is not the time to play games with God. It is not the time. This is not the place. This is not the era to be laughing and joking and grab-assing. The country is in an absolute recession. China thinks they can take us. Our politicians want war with Russia. War. To half of you who do not know what that means no more television, no more food in the refrigerator, possibly nuclear radiation. The outcome of this midterm decides the war footing of America. There is no sense in the following for the example that I've given of Pharaoh. There is no sense for wanting the devastation of the plagues, the very high cost and the loss of life that Pharaoh chose instead of humbling himself. That is the issue today for America. We are no different than Pharaoh sitting on his throne looking at Moses. And for every Christian that's out there, for every man and woman who's listening to me, who's teeter-tottering on the fence of faith, friends, I implore you right now, you can be saved. You can be insulated from the wrath of God. God's wrath is not to be set for us. But if you yoke yourself up, as Isaiah had tried telling his own king, if you yoke yourself up with this sin, you are going to bring the hammer of heaven down upon us. And it happened over and over and over, to the point that they had to write a book about it, just as an example. So God could say, here's an example, case you can't read. This is what I've done to people. Shall I do it again? America, if we continue to go the place that we are going, we will become Babylon, the fallen, the fallen. And better and more merciful, the damnation of Sodom and Gomorrah, than what will happen to Babylon. So continue to vote Democrat. Continue to smear the blood of the innocents over your door. Continue to choose the path that Pharaoh took for damnation. The day of opportunity will eventually be replaced by the day of reckoning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Whether we like it or not, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That's Romans 14, verses 10 through 12. Read it sometime. For all you sitting on the fence, look at what is on one side compared to the other. Do you who sit on the fence want to align yourself with the demonized nature, the debauchery, the debaseness, the evil wickedness of the left? Do you want communism and socialism? Do you want to hear the statistics of the death toll from every nation who's gone that route? Do you wish America to join that statistic? For all you parents who are on the fence, I don't even know how you could even come across in your mind, I want the sweetest, most innocent thing in my life, that I would rip a man limb from limb had he even looked at my child wrong, to now be placed in the tender, loving cares of a grown man who is a sexual pervert, a pedophile, someone who preys upon sexually children, and then say, here you go, I'll pick you up at 8. Teach my child how to lap dance. Some of you have seen these videos, some of you out there. It's floating all over mainstream media and social media. Children in New York, up in Richland, Texas as well, being allowed to dance provocatively for men. Heaven forbid that there ever becomes a real-life purge moment in this country, because the body count will be unfathomable. There is only one way out of this world, and it is through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, and every other bit of that you choose not to go. If you choose not to go the path of Christ, and you choose to go into the wide mouth of hell, don't complain. Whether we like it or not, every knee will bow to the Lord and every tongue will confess. Choose you this day who you serve. Will you and others pay a high price for your choice? And how much better it is for you and those that you love to obey the Lord now. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. Pharaoh was given a way out. How many times has God given you a way out? Choose the way out or choose damnation. Don't worry about this reprobate nation. Don't worry about this reprobate government. God will visit his vengeance upon this system. Right now you worry about your salvation and your kids' salvation. You worry about your preparations, your family's preparations, if you can, your neighbor's preparations. If you are blessed by the Lord to have a little bit of money, then bless others. You don't need another jet ski or helicopter or plane. Bless people who are not where you're at. This financial system is going to destroy itself, and we're all going to need friends on that dark day. Make friends, make allies, not enemies. Become an asset, not a liability. Get off of your excuse and go train. Hit your knees and start praying and prepare. That is all. I'll see you tomorrow. You can find this show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindictus show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindictus show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.